This is the Top 25 Rundown, and here's your host, Alan West.
Good evening, and welcome to the Top 25 Rundown presented by the Sportscast. Today is April 12, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all your channels, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch.tv, and Apple Podcasts. If you are on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and review. It'll help us out tremendously. You can listen to us on your smart speaker, Play Sportscast. Visit us on the sportscast.net. Also follow us on Twitter, Sportscast1, and check out our app, the Sportscast, in the iOS App Store. Hello, my name is Alan West, and welcome to the Top 25 Rundown. Tonight, I'm joined by Dave Heilman, who's on Dynasty Dorks Fantasy Football Podcast host at the SGP Network, Senior Dynasty Analyst at SGPN Fantasy, Did It Expert, Expert Consensus Ranker, and at FSWA. David, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Doing great. Just a couple weeks before the draft. It's the most fun time of the year.
That is true, sir. I mean, we just finished the both men, women's college football and basketball. And we just actually had the men's hockey championship happen this last weekend, where Quinnipiac beat Wisconsin 3-2 in overtime, which it was the Quinnipiac's first national championship for the coach there, who'd been there 29 years. Now, I was watching SportsCenter, and one thing I found out that was pretty cool was that for the first time since 1977, men's hockey and basketball champions came from the same state, Connecticut, which don't always hear about that every day.
No, that's pretty cool.
So, since I'm bringing up Connecticut real quick, did you see any prospects in Connecticut that you're looking at for the NFL draft right now?
No, I don't think there's anything coming out of Connecticut that I'm aware of. Maybe there's a smaller college that maybe I don't recognize for Connecticut, but no, there's some right down the road in Massachusetts, Boston College. One of my favorite players, Zay Flowers, coming out of there, but not many from Connecticut as far as the draft.
Okay, yeah, the last one I could think of that was a beast of a player, I guess you could say, Connecticut was Donald Brown, the running back. So it's been a little bit for them, but there's always hope. But with the NFL draft, I think that the main position that everyone's talking about right now is quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, last year didn't have any quarterbacks. I know Kenny Pickett came out of the class. We potentially have two starters, Sam Howell and Desmond Ridder, but they were late picks. And so quarterbacks are the big ticket item, and you could see up to five quarterbacks go in the first round this year.
All right. So I know that it's – let me see if I know – I can name a few of them off the top of my head. Let me see if I get them right, okay?
Okay.
Let's see. It's C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis. Can't think of the last one. How close am I?
Well, you're right on. So those are the four popular ones, and the other guy is Hendon Hooker. And so there's been a lot of steam recently that he is getting first round buzz. Some people have him graded above Will Levis and Anthony Richardson. You know, there's some notable analysts, Bucky Brooks, Chris Sims. But Daniel Jeremiah and everyone says he's acing the combine as far as the interviews, he's acing the visits. And this is a guy that was very productive in college. He's a dual threat player. He's also very good at protecting the ball. And so, and he won a lot of games. You know, when you look at back, you know, kind of the Bill Parcells model of, has a quarterback done these things? There were six things you need to do. He's the only one in the class that's done all six. And so he's an older prospect. He's 25 years old. He's coming off of an ACL injury, and it's an offense that is, it's not necessarily a pro style offense. This is a spread air raid attack. And so there's not been a whole lot of, you know, so he's an outlier. And so that is what's making people uncomfortable. You know, the age, you can't deny that. I mean, that's just what it is. But there's not But the, you know, at the end of the day, if you were, if everybody was healthy and you said you needed to start a game today, I know I personally, you know, if it was my favorite team or something was on the line for me, I would 100% trust Hendon Hooker over Will Levis and Anthony Richardson. He is a much better prospect today. But what people like about, you know, especially Anthony Richardson, he's only had, you know, a handful of starts and he's got a lot of room for growth. And Hendon Hooker, it might be more of a finished product. And so what he is, it might be what he is, you know, 25 years old. And so, you know, talking about the quarterbacks, so those are the top five guys. With Will Levis, my concern is he's an older prospect too. He's, I think he's 20, 23, 24 years old. He's had a bunch of starts and he still's got a whole lot of warts in his game. And, you know, when you are, you know, when you're a young player, you're going to have some, you know, some growing pains and some things that you need to work on. But when you go to the NFL combine and during your combine, you still have some flaws in your game and things that you need to tune up. It's not appealing that those things are still, you know, worrisome. But, you know, Will Levis is a guy that, you know, he could end up going top four in the draft. And then Daniel Jeremiah mocked him at 19 to Tampa.
Well, that's kind of the best part of the draft, though, because we're going to pick some people that we think are going to be rated high. And then later on, we're just going to find out that, well, we thought it was a good idea, but unfortunately, it didn't work out exactly how we wanted. So,
I mean, there's no way all five quarterbacks are going to pan out. I mean, in most situations, you're lucky to get one or two good quarterbacks out of the class. You look back a few years ago, you know, we had, you know, Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields and Zach Wilson and Trey Lance and Mac Jones. And, you know, still some things to be figured out with those guys. But we see kind of, you know, Trevor Lawrence is the real deal. And we've still got a lot to figure out with the other four. I don't think we've, you know, we've gotten two yet that have, you know, checked that box.
True, true. I mean, we're still in year three or year four. Also, want to welcome Bob Alves, high school sports commentator, public address announcer for the Lynchburg Hillcats, host of the Sports Fan, multiple other jobs and activities. How are you doing, Bob?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. And Bob, this is David, and David's helping us with some draft information. So far, we're hitting the quarterbacks.
Okay.
And why don't we jump over to the wide receivers now?
Okay.
So who are the top three or four that you're looking at right now, wide receiver-wise?
Yeah, and so most people's number one is Jackson Smith and Jigba, and report recently came out that he was the only receiver that had, you know, consensus first-round grades. All the others are getting second-round grades. Jordan Addison has, you know, he was a Biletnikoff Award winner 2 years ago for the nation's top receiver, transferred to USC, didn't have the best year there. They had a whole lot more mouths to feed in USC than Pittsburgh. So the numbers plummeted. His 2021 season was amazing. The numbers were just like video game stuff. Then last year was not so great. He is Daniel Jeremiah's number one. And so the next guy for most people might be Quentin Johnston out of TCU. He's a big receiver. All the other guys that I mentioned, you know, Jackson Smith and Jigba, he's your average size guy. He's 6'1", 210 pounds. You know, pretty good size on him. Zay Flowers is smaller, 5'9", 183. And then you have Jordan Addison, who is, he's 5'10", but he's 173. He's kind of a low BMI guy. And then Quentin Johnson's big dude. So that separates him. He's also got good speed with him. And then Jalen Hyatt is a popular pick for the fifth guy, but you could look at 10 people's boards and probably see 8 or 9 different players at that fifth spot. Some have Josh Downs. Some have Cedric Tillman, also out of Tennessee. There's a lot of different players that could end up being the fifth receiver off the board.
Okay. And yeah, no, I mean, one thing for Jackson and Jigba, when Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson all had an interview, I don't know if you saw it, was about a year ago back before Olave and Wilson went to the draft, they all sat together, and when the three of them talked and they said who was the best receiver, Olave and Wilson pointed at JSN and said he's the best receiver. So being that I'm an Ohio State fan, watching when he got hurt in the first game of the year against Notre Dame, that was tough to watch, just because after watching what he did against Utah in the Rose Bowl with 300 yards and however, I think it was over three touchdowns, just how he had dominated the Utah defense, I was hoping this was going to be his year to try to win the Biletnikoff. Although, technically, if we wanted to go for a little bit of a preview for a way too early 2024 draft, Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be eligible for the draft next year. I'm very curious to see what kind of a year he has, because even though Ohio did win the Biletnikoff, I am a little biased, but Marvin Harrison, the way that he was making some of the catches this last year, I thought he could win.
If Marvin Harrison Jr. was in this class, he would be the number one receiver. He's legit, and he's going to be a top five pick next year without, barring injury.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that. So at least for looking at that, that was what I thought, but since I had you on, I wanted to ask you about that way too early. Bob, do you have any questions about for wide receivers that we haven't mentioned right now?
Well, is there any sleeper that's standing out there, David, that people could be rejoicing if their team got?
Yeah, there's a lot. And so this is it's a pretty deep class at both running back receiver and tight end. And so I did get to go to the NFL Combine, be part of the media. And there was, it's a lot of buzz around a few different players. Jonathan Mingo out of Ole Miss is going to go higher in the draft than a lot of people think. Good Morning Football was just talking about him as well. He looks like an outside receiver. I mean, he's a big dude. They clocked him at 21 miles an hour last year, but he plays that big slot role, kind of like a Michael Thomas or, Keenan Allen, kind of, big slot. Marvin Mims out of Oklahoma, the dude averaged 20 yards a catch. Just ridiculous. Staying in the Big Ten, Jaden Reed. Jaden Reed is, Michigan State was not good this year at all. And so it really kind of capped everything. But those are kind of three guys. Rakim Jarrett out of Maryland is another one. And then Cedric Tillman, like I said, I've heard people that like Cedric Tillman better than they do Jalin Hyatt, and Jalin Hyatt won the Biletnikoff this year.
Backs, who are some of your top running backs? I know Bijan Robinson's got to be one of the top ones that you've been looking at.
Yeah, Bijan Robinson's in his whole other tier. He's just in his own world. He is, he's the highest rated prospect since Saquon Barkley. This guy can run, he can catch, he can pass block. He really does everything. And then on top of it, all of the scouts and all of the reports you hear that like everybody just gushed over this guy, and that like very Saquon like that he was like the heart of the team, the leader, the great teammate, good off the field kind of a guy. So Bijan is in his own world, and Jahmyr Gibbs is the next guy. He's a little smaller. Came in at 199 pounds, but he is your Alvin Kamara type. He's a slicing runner. He is a dynamic player in the receiving game, and he just has an extra, like his juice is different. He just looks different on the field against the competition. And when you're looking at his film at Georgia Tech, he looked really good, but then he stepped up to a higher level of competition going in the SEC, and he looked just as good, if not better. I think he's probably most people's number two. Zach Charbonnet, from PFF only had two players that graded at top 10 in their position at both rushing and receiving. It was Zach Charbonnet and Eric Gray. And so teaser, Eric Gray is one of my sleepers. Devin Achane is another guy. I think he's going to go higher in the draft. Fantasy football fans, he may not be as good, but this guy, he's probably the fastest of the running backs. He's just, but he's a small guy. He's 188 pounds, 190 pounds. More of a, not as much of a volume player, while Zach Charbonnet is 6'1", 220 pounds. And then the fifth guy for everyone is a little different. Tyjae Spears out of Tulane is definitely someone people should be interested in. Zach Evans out of Ole Miss, Kendre Miller out of TCU. There's probably 12 running backs, and you're going to see them fly off the board on, between rounds 2 and 5. You're probably going to see 12 to 15 running backs because they're just loaded. Izzy Abanaconda out of Pittsburgh, a lot of good running backs.
Didn't Deuce declare for the draft as well out of Kansas State?
Deuce Vaughn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Deuce Vaughn is interesting. He has if you just would have blind resume, put Deuce Vaughn's stats out there, everyone would be like, why is Bijan, if you put Bijan Robinson stats next to Deuce Vaughn, it's like one guy looks like Barry Sanders. I mean, it's just like ridiculous. Deuce Vaughn's, his stats are ridiculous, but he's such an outlier because of his size. Like, he's even smaller than Tariq Cohen. I don't have it with me right now, but I think he's 5'6", 165 pounds. You just don't see a lot of running backs that size being able to hold up.
That's true. I mean, that's why I just remembered he had declared for the draft. So I was curious to
He did. And I think in a class that didn't have so much talent, he might be a little higher, but like I said, he's such an outlier in size. You look at take fantasy football and, just use that as a measurement for success. In the last 20 years, there's only been 10 guys under 190 pounds that have been able to have top 10 running backs seasons. And six of them are Darren Sproles.
Yep.
And so, it's so hard to find that, but such a good college football player. I hope he's good in the NFL and I'm sure I'm missing a couple running backs, but there's, like I said, it's a very deep running back class.
Mm-hmm. No worries. I mean, after all, when it's time for the draft, you'll definitely be curious for your rankings. That's why I'm just trying to,
another small school guy is Dwayne McBride from UAB. He was the nation's leading rusher, averaged 170 yards a game rushing. Didn't have much work in the passing game. The offense didn't really do that. And then, I got to talk to him at the combine and I said, hey, people are going to ask about your passing work. What do you want to tell them? And he was like, I can catch. They just didn't throw me the ball because I was running 170 yards a game. They didn't have to. And he's I said, who do you, pattern your game after? And he said, he patterns his game after Marshawn Lynch. He's that kind of beast mode, kind of a tone setter at running back. And then Rashawn Johnson, also from Texas, he is an old school big running back. I think he's 6'2", 225 pounds, 220 pounds. He's someone that could end up being a steal because he was in Bijan Robinson's shadow, and that people don't really pay much attention. But at the combine, he was getting a lot of attention, and I think teams see him as potential starter.
Okay, well, that's definitely a few good names for us to start kind of get in our head for the draft coming up. So what about for tight ends?
Loaded class. There could be 10 tight ends drafted in the first four rounds. The number one tight end for most people is Michael Mayer. Mine is Dalton Kincaid. Dalton Kincaid is he's your new school Travis Kelce, George Kittle, where he's a weapon in the passing game. And Michael Mayer is more like your Jason Witten type. He's a good pass catcher, but he's not going to catch the ball and take it to the house 60 yards. He's going to bowl some people over, do his thing. He's a great, great run blocker. And so you'll be interested to see which one of those guys goes number one, as far as which type, but both those guys have first round grades, and Daniel Jeremiah thinks both of them are going to go in the first round. Darnell Washington is most people's number three. For me, he's really an extra offensive lineman. He wasn't used much as a pass catcher, But in Georgia, at Georgia, they didn't have to. They have Brock Bowers, who talk about top five picks. Him and Marvin Harrison Jr. are, they're just freaks. And so Darnell Washington, he's about 6'7", 270 pounds at the combine, but he also played at like 285. And so he's going to be probably a high second round pick. And then Luke Musgrave out of Oregon State. If you look and just are a box score scout and you look at the production, you'd be like, why is this guy in the conversation with these other guys? Because he doesn't belong. But the reason he's there is because of his athletic traits. He's 6'7", ran a 4.5 at the Senior Bowl. He was, everyone was like, this guy's, you know, the best receiver out here, period. And he's a tight end. And then, you know, you go to the combine, he lights it up, and at his podium, you would have thought, you know, one of the top players was out there because everybody was all over him at the podium. And, I think he's another one. And then, Sam Laporta is a guy to look at. Your sleeper would be Zach Kuntz. Zach Kuntz is out of Old Dominion, very small school, but he transferred from Penn State. Big school.
Okay.
So moderate production, but he had literally the best combine according to the, you know, relative athletic score at in the last, you know, 15 years out of 2000 tight ends. He had the number one score ever. And so this guy's big dude. I think he's 6'6 or 6'7, 250 pounds, you know, ran a 4.5 40. His broad jump and his long, you know, broad jump and vertical were like 99th percentile. This guy is just everything you're looking for as far as a, you know, as a like him and Anthony Richardson were the two guys that like broke the combine this year.
Okay. Yeah. No, for me, I live in Virginia. So when you say Old Dominion, I know that school well. So. That is definitely good to hear for, like you said, one of the breakout people for the combine. Who's another person? When we're looking in defense, who are some of the breakout players you saw from the combine?
Well, you know, it's unfortunate what's going on with Jalen Carter right now. We didn't get to see him move around the combine because everything going on. And now you've seen some of the other stuff coming in overweight at his pro day, having some other issues off the field. But because of what he did and because of how good he looked, Will Anderson is the odds on favorite to be the number one player coming out of this draft. As far as the defensive side of the ball, Will Anderson is an outside, you know, outside linebacker edge, depending on your scheme, from Alabama. Most people have him projected as the number three pick in the draft. I do think that the Arizona Cardinals are very much trying to get out of that pick. And if somebody wants to leapfrog the Colts, you know, whether it's the Raiders or the Titans or the Falcons, and they want to get up there and get their pick, you know, Will Levis or Anthony Richardson, or for some reason, you know, Bryce Young or CJ Stroud falls to three, they're probably going to wait until, you know, cards play out. But as soon as that, you know, no pun intended, but as soon as the Texans make their pick, the Cardinals probably got a deal in place already. And the rumor is the Raiders and the Titans are the most likely to be trading up to number three, and they would be targeting either Will Levis or Anthony Richardson.
Okay.
Looking at other defensive players, we'll just stick with the defensive line. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tyree Wilson is your, like, he was on Bruce Feldman's freak list. Everybody go check out Bruce Feldman's freak list. Everybody that knows anything, anybody that's anything football reads that list. And these guys are just guys that are size and, you know, size speed freaks. And Tyree Wilson, he's like a seven foot eight, you know, a wingspan. He is your, you know, kind of your Myles Garrett body type kind of a guy. He's huge. You don't see the huge production. And so you kind of wonder where that is, but Tyree Wilson's moved up the board and he could compete with Will Anderson for that top pick. Love that shirt. And then, Lucas Van Ness is very interesting out of Iowa. So Iowa does this weird thing where they only play their seniors. And so when people see Lucas Van Ness being mocked in the top 10, top 15, and this guy didn't even start last year, like that's a joke, right? But it's like every time he got on the field, he was unstoppable. Mm-hmm. And like Iowa was just like stupid for you know, sticking to their system. And so Lucas Van Ness is number three for Bucky Brooks as far as edge rushers. I've seen him mocked as high, you know, as high as, you know, the seventh or eighth pick in the draft. But I think he, you know, he goes top 15. Keon White out of Georgia Tech. He's, you know, more of your 3-4 defensive end, but he's a little bigger, but he's another guy. And then Miles Murphy out of Clemson. But there's a lot of, you know, edge rushers in this class. It's a very deep class. Kid out of McDonald out of Iowa State. I mean, he's an athletic guy. Got the Dwight Freeney spin move. He's a little smaller, kind of like a Hassan Reddick kind of a build. But this guy is an athletic freak. Like, he literally was jumping over cars in his like workout video. And then as far as defensive ends, you got quite a few, but the two guys that probably go in the first round are Kalijah Kancey out of Pittsburgh and Jalen Carter. And the other guy might be Brian Breesy out of Clemson.
Okay. Yeah, no, remember Breesy had he had to take he was injured a few games this last year. Then I think that someone he had it was either his sister or someone he was close with passed away during the year as well, too, if I recall right. I think ESPN did an article about that or a story about it.
I believe so.
Off the top of my head. Bob, do you have any questions about Ed Rushers or DNs, sir?
Is there any defense that could make somebody have a fantasy trophy like you do in the background?
Oh, any defense? Well, I'll say this, that Mozzie Smith, he got the award at the combine for, I went and asked every offensive lineman, who is the nastiest guy you faced? Who's toughest guy you faced? And all of them, almost all of them said Derek Brown from Carolina. But I was like, anyone in this draft, Mozzie Smith was that dude from Michigan. They just said that he's just so freaking strong. And so he's got really strong hands. And once he gets his hands on you, he really can do whatever he wants. And they said really the only way to beat that guy is just not let him get his hands on you. And so Mozzie Smith is a borderline first round guy, very Rashawn Gary type. And I know that's kind of lazy analysis with the helmet, but the production's not there, but he's got all the tools that you're looking for. So if he goes to the right team, he could be a guy that, you know, a playoff team gets him and develops him, you know, the Eagles or something like that, one of the last picks in the draft. And this guy could be a stud.
Fair enough. Although for him, I know he had a legal issue at the end of the year. So we'll have to see how that goes for him. Since you did talk about the offensive line real quick, we jumped over that. So who were some of the players you saw for the offensive line, either center, tackle, or lineman that really just caught your eye?
Yeah, as far as the tackles, it's not a very good tackle class. And so you're always going to see tackles moved up the board. Not only are they super expensive in free agency, but they're just a premium position. Top guy for most people is Peter Skoronski, but he doesn't have the length. And so you're looking for guys with, you know, 34, 35-inch arms. I think he's got 32-inch arms. And for you and I, it might not be a big deal, but for NFL teams, a lot of them, they're like, okay, he's going to be a right guard like Zach Martin. And what did it do? Zach Martin was an all-pro, maybe a Hall of Fame right guard. And so Skoronski might be a guard, and that'll depreciate his value. But Paris Johnson from Ohio State, Broderick Jones from Georgia, Darnell Wright from Tennessee, and then Anton Harrison. But I was telling you earlier before the show, you know, Jones, you know, from the right tackle from Ohio State, he's a house.
Dewan Jones.
And then interior offensive lineman, the guards, Osiris Torrance didn't let up a sack his entire last year. And then a guy that if you want a fun story, Cody Mount from South Dakota State. This guy is like looks like a hockey player. He's got no front teeth. He has to wear like a thing. And he's a guy that's got five position flexibility, could be a guard, could be a center, could be a tackle. And so he'll be interesting in the second, third round. But as far as centers, it's a very deep class. Like there's starting centers that'll go in the second, third round. You got John Michael Schmitz from Minnesota is probably the number one. He's an older prospect, 25 years old. We asked him why he stayed back another year, and he said he did it for his teammates. Things weren't finished. They wanted to win some more games. And, you know, he stayed there with his teammates. Luke Whipler out of Ohio State. But Daniel Jeremiah's number one center is Joe Tippmann from Wisconsin.
Okay. That's good. Bob, are there any players on the line you can think of that you were curious about? Or
not really. I mean, Dave said he liked my shirt, so I'm in hog heaven at this point.
Yeah, okay. Man.
No, I heard that. I was like, you know what? I'm a wait. I know we're going to hear more about that. So I was like, you know what? I'm biding my time for that. Speaking of the defense, so what did you think about some of the linebackers? I know that you probably got a few middle linebackers or some outside linebackers. I know we hit on the edge rushers, but what do you think about maybe some of the outside linebackers first?
Yeah, Nolan Smith is a guy. You saw him at the combine. He was probably one of the guys that was the biggest buzz. He's probably, you know, he's worked himself into a first round. You know, a lot of people say like, you know, the combine is just the underwear Olympics. As long as they don't go and screw up the test, they'll be fine. But this guy just aced the test in such a way that people had to go back and look at the tape. And he's just physically just so electric that you got interest in him. And so if they try to turn him into a run stopper, it's not going to work. This guy's he's small. He's a smaller, edge guy. But as far as, being able to go after the passer, he can do that. And he's just too fast for the tackles. So another, kind of a Hassan Reddick kind of a build. Your linebacker, your other outside guys, like I said, we talked about them already, but the inside still's got some good players. You have Drew Sanders from Arkansas. He's an Alabama transfer. Guy had 9.5 sacks from the inside linebacker position. That's pretty unheard of. This guy had a lot of tackles for loss. Very just nosy player. And he's fearless. And so he meets the running backs in the hole or goes and finds him behind the line of scrimmage more than any other linebacker. Trenton Simpson out of Clemson. Jack Campbell is a guy that he's definitely a guy that's got a lot of buzz. And he's been working with Luke Kuechly. Jack Campbell is one out of Iowa. And then I'll probably mess this one up, but Henry 2020 out of Alabama. He's your classic middle linebacker, traffic cop. There's good linebackers in this class. And I'm sure there's some that I don't know, but there's a couple others. If you check PFF out, they'll have some guys for you. But Overshawn out of Texas, he's another guy.
Okay. What do you think about some of the cornerbacks this year's class so far?
So one of the best things that I like to listen to is Move the Sticks. And so they did their media call, and then those media call notes were all emailed out. And so they asked him, what's the deepest position in the class? And he said corner. And so you could have five or six guys go in the first round from the cornerback position just in the first round. Really? And so the top dogs they're going to be Christian Gonzalez and Devin Witherspoon. And so Devin Witherspoon, he's a real feisty corner. He has more playmaking than Christian Gonzalez, but he's a lot smaller. He's a smaller corner, so he's not going to hold up against some of your bigger outside receivers. But, NFL receivers were getting smaller and smaller. when you look at Christian Gonzalez, he's more your Jalen Ramsey kind of a build. 6'2", 205 pounds, long arms. You know, he's someone that will look different. You put those two players side by side, they look different. But those two are both probably going to go in the top 10. I haven't seen a mock draft that has them outside of the top 10. Joey Porter Jr., Cam Smith out of South Carolina. Emmanuel Forbes is really moving up the board, Mississippi State. He's, you know, kind of in that borderline first round range. Remember, there's only 31 picks this year. The Miami Dolphins forfeited their pick because of the tampering last year. So no first round pick there, but Emmanuel Forbes, there was an article that came out today that talks about how many visits he's having with, you know, teams as high as, you know, the Titans at 11, and he could go. And then I think the other Deontay Banks. So both of the Maryland corners they lit up the combine. I know the Michigan kid was really good, DJ. But the two Maryland kids, they actually came out first. And when they went, it was so funny because like the times were like, holy crap, like the thing's broken, because they came out and just ran fire times. They were back to back to start off that grouping, but they stuck. And so both those guys moving up, I've seen Deontay Banks moving up towards the first round.
Okay. Yeah. No, one thing that I remember is when Malcolm Jenkins was drafted out of Ohio State, he was drafted as a cornerback before he moved to safety. And so, I mean, even if Witherspoon, say, for some reason, if it doesn't work as a cornerback, they could always move him to safety and he could still have just as productive of a career if it happens like that.
It can move him to corner. A lot of people are using that star position. Yeah, you see it. Used to see it in college a lot more than you do, but you know they got them in this. You know, one of the things that you're seeing in you know NFL formations, what do? They put do you want to put two guys on Justin Jefferson? They move him the other side of the field. They move him back to the middle. They move him over here. They get him in traffic, and so you get a guy like Witherspoon that can move around a little bit easier and can do those things. Can travel with the guy. Can move him to the corner. You know. But he's more like your Jeff Okuda. Like he's kind of like the size of Jeff Okuda versus, you know, like I said, a guy that's 6'2", 210 pounds with, you know, enormous wingspan like Christian Gonzalez.
Absolutely. Then speaking of Jeff Okuda, he got traded this week from the Lions to the Falcons. So maybe like you were talking about come for that third pick, maybe Detroit setting themselves up for a better shot at moving up there.
Detroit had a leaky defensive backfield last year. They were 32nd overall. They were 31st or worst in every category that comes to with the defensive. They were letting up the most passing yards per game, the most passing touchdowns per game, the most big plays. They just sucked. Like there was no other way around it. So they had to put resources in there, and I don't think they're done. You know, they had two rookies last year. And one of them, you know, could play a little bit more. I forget his name, Kirby Joseph, I think, from Illinois, but they added CJ Gardner-Johnson from Philly. They added Emmanuel Mosley. And I believe there was another corner they added as well. So they got, or a safety they added, but I don't think they're done. I think they're going to add one in the first round with either pick 20 or pick six.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's definitely going to be fun to see. Bob, do you have any questions for the cornerbacks?
My thing would be, do you want a fast corner covering one of your small receivers, or do you want a big corner covering a small receiver?
Yeah. And so it's interesting because, you know, Move the Six talked about this, and they said, you know, when Seattle was doing that thing where they went out and got all these big physical, like long range corners, everyone lined up to get the same thing. And what did the Patriots do? They were like, man, everybody's letting all these small corners slide down the board. And the thing is these big guys can't move around the same way. And so like Joey Porter's a big physical corner and he can play press, but he's not going to be able to turn and run like some of these other little guys. So it really depends on your defensive scheme. My concern with the smaller guys is, can they tackle?
Yep.
And so if it's a smaller guy and he's not afraid to tackle, I'm fine with it. But if it's a small guy that doesn't like to tackle, then like Greedy Williams is an example. He didn't like to tackle. I'm not interested. You got to be able to play both sides of the ball. If you're the weak link, NFL teams are like, they're way too smart, and they're going to see you as a liability, and they're going to pick on you like Waldo all day.
Yep.
So let's see. We got three positions left. We have safeties, we have punters, and we have kickers.
Oh man. So, I'll just tell you, I don't know much about the kickers and the punters, but I do know the Oklahoma kid's got a whole bunch of like social media followers, because he does a whole bunch of trick shots and stuff. So you guys can check that out. I think he's supposedly pretty good too. But you have to spend a whole bunch of time looking at kickers and punter tape.
I understand. I know that for Ohio State, the kicker did come out, Noah Ruggles, which if he gets drafted, that's good. I know that unfortunately the way that kick went against Georgia, that definitely was not how we wanted to have happen. I was watching that game, and I had to explain to my daughter afterwards why we couldn't watch the ball drop, and because she wanted to watch the game with me, and we had a nice little chat about that. She was not the happiest of people, but she was like, "We're gonna watch this game, Dad." So I said, "Okay, we're gonna watch the end of the game," and just watching how that kick went, that was a shame. But yeah, someone's gonna win, someone's gonna lose, but.
Hopefully that kid can shake it off.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the ugliest kicks I've ever seen, unfortunately. But, I mean, considering Noah Ruggles, I believe he was at James Madison before he came to Ohio State. So, I mean, he was able to upgrade. And being a kicker at Ohio State, he did really well, other than he had a few misses last year. But the year before, he basically had – I don't think it was a perfect season, but I think he only missed like two or three kicks all year. So, I mean, I'm curious to see how that goes for the NFL, but that's
I'll give you guys this. Remember the double doink with Cody Parkey?
Yes.
So I never saw this until recently, but that kick was actually partially blocked. And so Cody Parkey got made fun of, the Bears, media, they had people out there like trying to, you know, bring people on to be the new kicker and yada yada and all these jokes. But you know, it was a documentary about that game, and it was, you know, kind of an unknown player from the Eagles interior defensive lineman was like, I blocked it, like I touched it. And then you go back and watch the tape and you see, okay, yeah, that his hand hit the ball and the spin of the ball definitely changed, and then it went and double doinked, and Parkey took all the hate, but this guy never really got the credit he deserved.
Unfortunately, that's how it is in pro sports, sadly. But
yeah. Talk about safeties.
Yes, sir. What do we got?
Brian Branch is your only safety that could go in the first round. Okay. And he's a corner/safety. He plays the same role that Minka Fitzpatrick played when he was there. And the way that he's built is more like a safety. We talked earlier kind of, you know, the size and everything. He's a big dude. Like, you know, Minka Fitzpatrick's a big dude. And so going up, you know, and lining up against tight ends, lining up against bigger slot receivers, that's his game. But if you were to put him outside against some of these faster receivers, I think he'd get worked on. But, you know, PFF has him, I think, the 17th best player as far as their grading system. He's number one on Bucky Brooks' top five list. He's the top 25 player, I think, on Daniel Jeremiah. So Brian Branch from Alabama. And then there's a lot of safeties that, you know, and safety is an undervalued position. So you could see guys that are the second or third best safety in the class, or on, you know, every NFL team might have different grades, and go in third round, and he's going to start. So Antonio Johnson, Texas A&M, big physical guy. Jordan Battle out of Alabama. Jair Brown, They call him the turnover king. Okay. He had a whole bunch of turnovers. His tackling is not his forte, but he is somebody that definitely makes plays. And then Sidney Brown from Illinois. Sidney Brown is actually the twin brother of Chase Brown, who is the running back from Illinois.
Okay. Well, it's definitely going to make things interesting. Have you followed much recruiting right now for college football by any chance?
Not much. Not much. I do know, you know, there's some pretty big name quarterbacks went to the West Coast, USC and UCLA got pretty big name guys. Malachi Nelson went to UCLA and Dante Moore went to USC. But I got enough with the pros. I don't do as much with college.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, let's take a look at Ohio State's draft class and for recruiting. The main reason why I mention that is because they were able to get two brothers who are offensive linemen who committed, I want to say last week. And so right when you were talking about for the two brothers at Illinois, that made me think of that right then.
Because yeah, and we asked them about that at the combine, and they said that that was the first school to offer them both. And that's why they went to Illinois. They each individually had offers elsewhere, but they wanted to go play together, even though they're on the other side of the ball. But, you know, they were like, our dream has always been to play together, and that's what we're going to do. NFL, they don't have as much, they don't have much say in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like the Morris brothers in the NBA.
Yeah.
So, Bob, you have any questions for safeties?
No, I think Dave's done a great job covering it all.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, no. So if we were going to try to find you on social media, Dave, how would we do that?
At Dynasty Dorks. So it's just Dynasty Dorks, no space, and capital D's.
Very nice. And for your trophy in the background, how many times are you the defending champion for that? To start a career.
I mean, I've definitely won a few leagues. I will say that I'm in way too many. So it's not like, you know, I'm in five leagues and I won five leagues last year. But, you know, I won three or four leagues last year. I think I'm in about a dozen. So have fun. And plus Trophy Smack's one of my sponsors. And so I definitely get to have a little fun with that. The one ring here is for flag football. We got second place at the Fantasy Football Expo last year. That was cool.
Wow. Very nice. Very nice. I'm starting to get back into fantasy football a little bit. I helped out my neighbor last year, whereas the time before that I had not played in a while. But when I did play, I went against Peyton Manning in his MVP season as the in the championship game, and I beat him with Ben Roethlisberger as my quarterback. So yeah. I was happy to walk out on top that year.
It's definitely a lot of fun. You know, I most of my stuff is fantasy football, but I'm a football junkie. And so I'm excited to talk about linemen and defensive players as well. But yeah, fantasy football is definitely, you know, and it makes the NFL a lot different than what it is. You know, I know that there's a lot of players and coaches that don't care for it. And some players embrace it, but they wouldn't make as much money as they do. And people wouldn't be, you know, eyes on the TV watching the 1-13 team go against the 2-14 team. If it wasn't for fantasy football and sports gambling, because that's all that we're here for. And so, you know, it's definitely fun. Plus it allows you to, you know, enjoy football outside of your team. You know, I'm watching a game tonight and I'm like, you know, I'm a Giants fan and I'm not a fan that has multiple teams. I have one team. But I, you know, it's Bengals versus Steelers, and I got Ja'Marr Chase on my team. I got Najee Harris on my team. So my eyes are glued to the TV, and I've watched games where I don't have any fantasy players on there, and it's not as exciting. But I did ask a few players. I didn't want to get kicked out of the combine for asking stupid questions, but I got a couple in, and I was like, yeah, you know, how do you feel about fantasy football? And is that going to be a part of your brand, or are you going to not really like that part of it? And a couple players were, you know, I don't really care much about it. A couple of them said, oh, my brothers, you know, my family plays, and I'm sure they're excited to draft me next year. And the players all talked about the Madden experience, and being able to create themselves in Madden was like a surreal moment. And, you know, I asked, like, you know, is there a moment that you realize like you're about to be in the NFL? And they were like, yeah, when we did the Madden thing, that was freaking cool. And it was like, it's here. So that was cool.
Marco, I'm a little jealous about that. I think Bob may agree with me about that. Yep.
I was going to ask you real quick, Dave, what do you think about the Sunday ticket rights going elsewhere?
I'm struggling, man. I'm actually going to be like, I moved to my house almost 2 years ago, and so I got DirecTV here only for the Sunday ticket, to be honest.
Right.
And so my contract's going to be out, so I'm going to be stuck in a situation where I got to figure out what I want to do. But when those prices came out the other day, it's not cool, man.
And I wonder if DirecTV is going to see a lot of drops. YouTube TV could see a lot of pickups to a degree, because I think if people get the Sunday ticket, they're going to probably go ditch the cord, so to speak, and go to that YouTube TV as well.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it. What did they do? They said, here's the price if you get it before June, and also you get $100 off if you're a YouTube TV subscriber or whatever, roughly $100. You know, so. But then I was like, okay, so first thing I did, how much is YouTube TV per month?
Yep.
$80. And I'm like, oh, that's not what I expected. That's not, you know, it's not much better than DirecTV. So yeah, it's, you're paying, I think it was, if you're a YouTube TV subscriber, I think it was $259. And if you're not, it's like $359.
Right.
And that's if you get it before June. If not, it goes up.
Right.
So yeah,
it's going to be something we're definitely going to be looking at. I mean, I know that a lot of people for Sunday ticket, even if they don't want to watch it for the games, the red zone's been the thing that's been the most popular part for Sunday ticket I've seen the past few years. I admit I don't have red zone. For me, if I want to listen to it, I listen to it on Sirius XM myself, but just watching and seeing how it is, I'm definitely curious about it. And yeah, Bob, you took the words out of my mouth for that question, just because I want to see about that. But also, one other thing is, right around the NFL draft, we're going to have the USFL starting, and we're going to see how that's going to go, just because you got the XFL going on right now. And that should be, I think that their final weeks are going to kind of coincide with the beginning of the USFL. So I'm going to kind of curious to see how that's going to go the rest of the year, just because it's been relatively popular.
Yeah,
I mean, people want to watch football, and I mean, even if it's not the best football, you're still able to watch it, and you get to watch how they decide they want to go 1 point, 2 point, or 3 points. So I saw that at least for my team that's over by my house is the DC Defenders, and they're, I think, 6-1 or 7-1 and just made the playoffs. So definitely curious to see how that goes.
Yeah, for me, I think the best way for both of those, the XFL and the USFL, to be successful is for them to pair up with the NFL and be the farm teams for the NFL. You know, you have just fan loyalty. You know, if you knew that this team was a farm team or associated with your team, but you know, you saw a lot of players that went to the NFL and played that were, you know, in the XFL, USFL. It was not a whole lot of players, and you're not seeing a whole lot of stars, but there were plenty of players that were, you know, I believe the Chiefs had one or two that were like, you know, USFL guys that end up, you know, winning rings.
Yeah, no, I know for the original XFL, I'll never forget Rod Smart, Mr. He Hate Me, and Tommy Maddox, just two to name right off the top of my head. And I I seem to remember something for the the one thing I appreciate for the XFL is that you see that for a lot of the teams that they have, they chose teams that have soccer stadiums so they can play their games in the soccer stadiums, whereas for the USFL, the majority of their games are in Birmingham. So
yeah,
at least that's what it seemed like it was. So
yeah, it's interesting, but yeah, I'm still doing some content because I'm a dynasty fantasy football player. So I still am doing two shows a week and articles and stuff, but it's going to take a little break from football, spend time with family other than the responsibilities.
Of course. Yeah. Me and Bob, we have children ourselves, so we definitely understand about that. But, wow. I definitely did not expect to learn as much as I did. So Dave, I thank you for that. And I definitely, when we have our preview show before the NFL draft, I definitely want to try to get you back on for that and see about not only more of your insight, but also want to see what your mock draft's going to look like as well.
Everyone's got to have mock draft, right? I mean, no one's going to get it right, but we got to try. So we'll see. I think last year I nailed like maybe 7 or 8 actual like player to team, but I was off to such a hot start. I got 1, I got 2, I got 3, and I'm like, I'm doing all right. And then I didn't get another one right for like 12 picks. But you know, I will say out of my 32 picks, those 32 players went within the, you know, the top 45 selection. So I was pretty excited about that. And so you know, Move the Sticks talks about, you don't always got to get him in the right house. You just want to get him in the neighborhood. You just look like an idiot if you project a guy like Malik Willis in the first round and he goes in the, you know, fourth round. But if you predicted a guy to go 31 and he goes 35 to a different team, you still, you know, look like you might know what you're doing. And so that's what I was most excited about. But yeah, I got the first 3 picks last year. And I was like, man, I'm doing so good. And then it was just like, boom, 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 X, 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 X on all my stuff. And I think it was 7 that I got right last year, maybe 8.
You know what? That still is more than I got. So I give you props for that. And I look forward to seeing when we get to listen for those picks, just because it's definitely going to be interesting. So Bob, if we were going to try to find you on social media, I know that's a dangerous task, but
right,
if we did, where would we find you on social media, sir?
The Sports Buffet on Twitter is the best. You can also do the Sports Buffet podcast on Facebook. And if you can't get those two, probably just give up.
I mean, there's always hope. Don't worry. There's always hope. I mean, remember, for what you've done on Facebook and Twitter, I still got to make another post on my Twitter, which is Alan F. West. I mean, I did make one post after 10 years, and I'm going to try and make another post right before the draft. So we're looking at doing that. Or you can find me on Facebook or Instagram at alan.west.46. But like I said, Dave, thank you for coming on, and we look forward to having you back on. Bob, I'm glad you were able to come on as well, sir, and so we can look forward to not only some more draft coverage, but we can take a look at some of the rankings for some of the other sports that are happening, just because this week I wanted to make sure that we were able to get through and really kind of dive deep into the positions. And Dave, you knocked it out of the park. I
appreciate
thank you
that.
For that.
I thought you were going to say more Bob shirts.
Oh, I can switch it up next week.
Yeah, man, I love that. I put a post on Twitter and I did the different decades, and I was like, okay, Hulk Hogan's not available. Who's the best wrestler in the 80s? Or, you know, Shawn Michaels is not available. Who's the best wrestler in the 90s? And it just blew up. I mean, I had you know, probably 500 responses and all these retweets and stuff. And it was just fun. And to go through like wrestling, and I'm not necessarily into it now, but as a kid, right, I loved it. Oh, yeah. And yeah. So I'm actually watching Dark Side of the Ring, and okay, I've seen that.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting, you know, documentary about a lot of wrestlers I didn't know, but right, a lot of wrestlers where like man, there's some crazy stuff that goes on in the wrestling industry. And so, but yeah, it's very nostalgic being, seeing all the answers and everyone like going back to their childhood and being like, Ultimate Warrior was the best. And remember this guy, remember that guy. And it's like, oh yeah, I totally forgot about that guy. So it was cool.
Yeah. Maybe we'll, next week or the week after, we'll have to make sure to see what shirt Bob has on, and we can, see if it's going to be a wrestling shirt or what type of different shirt he has. Cause well, Bob, it's not a question of if, it's when.
Yep.
I know how you do it, sir. So I'm always curious to see it. But other than that, that's Dave. That's Bob. My name is Alan. This has been the Top 25 Rundown. Have a great night, everybody.